House Ag and Forestry and SR2 Committee.
Everybody else.
Come to order. We are, have as a issue an agenda, a public hearing on House Bill 2156. And at this particular point, we are not going to be able to move this bill through all the way today, but we do want to continue our public hearing on it. And the first thing that the chair would like to do is ask the Department of Justice, I don't have the name here, but the... Larry Knutson, to come forth. There were some amendments drafted to 2156, and we'd like to hear explanation of those amendments on the first item that we have.
Senator's here. Senator's here.
He knows the most of the dais.
You should recognize him.
We need to recognize Senator Messerly, who is here with us, and he is, I think, chosen to sit there. We'd be delighted to have him join us up here. Thank you. Mr. Knutson.
Thank you, Chairman Jensen. For the record, my name is Larry Knutson. I'm an Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Justice. Here on behalf of the Oregon Department of Agriculture. My understanding is that amendments or proposed amendments are going to be submitted to Legislative Council to House Bill 2156. So I can't speak to specific language, but I can tell you what the proposed amendments would be and what we're proposing to Legislative Council. And that would be, essentially, they fall into two categories. The first would be in several provisions, and I can go over those in detail if you want. We would be retaining the reference to the Department of Environmental Quality. So essentially, the bill would allow both the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Environmental Quality to administer the confined animal feeding operation program, at least the federal component of that. And the reason for that is because under the federal process, the EPA has to approve a change in the delegation of this federal program from DEQ to the State Department of Agriculture. And that is has to go through public hearing or public hearing and notice opportunity. And likely could take some period of time. So in order to assure that there is no lapse and that the state can continue both to operate its existing federal water quality permit program that applies to all manner of different sources and the as well as the agricultural component, the combined animal feeding operation component, both agencies would have that legal authority in the interim. That is essentially the way that the existing state confined animal feeding operation program has operated for years anyway, with the program being delegated from DEQ to ODA under a memorandum of agreement. So something like that would be used in the interim and as much delegated as the federal agencies would allow until such time as the formal change in the procedure in the program has been accomplished.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Larry, so until that formal delegation occurs at some point in time, what you're suggesting is that we have joint operation or authority between DEQ, ODA, on the CAFO-AFO requirements and program. But then when formal delegation occurs, would there be any need to have DEQ involved then at that point?
At that point, one of two things could happen in the next legislative session, assuming the delegation has been accomplished. We can revisit these statutes and you could remove the reference to DEQ. or it could continue to operate. You could continue to have it on the books, but it would be a ODA program.
Mr. Chair, a quick follow-up.
Chair, please.
If so, then in your mind, and I'll ask this question of DEQ and ODA both. In your mind, there's no substantive reason or operational reason why DEQ would need to continue once the formal delegation was granted?
Once the formal delegation by EPA has been accomplished, then DEQ would no longer be doing the confined animal feeding program, or in the federal parlance, a concentrated animal feeding program. They wouldn't do it for two reasons. One, obviously, it wouldn't be consistent with your direction. The second, it would be inconsistent with the new delegation agreement, which would have that responsibility going to ODA.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Representative Cruz.
Well, let's follow up on Representative Kraft. What we're doing now goes against the designation to a degree. It's designated to DEQ, and we've made it a dual authority, or we made capital a dual authority at this point, I guess. I guess my question was if it would make sense to write in the language that when the transfer form would happen, when EPA approve the transfer, would it make sense for the DEQ authority to then go away? I mean, we could write it in the statute that upon transfer, the authority no longer exists.
Chair Jensen, Representative Cruz, certainly you could do it that way, and I don't think there'd be a problem with it. When we submitted the proposal, we didn't view that to be necessary because we assumed that one of two things would happen. Either we'd come back and strike all of that reference to DEQ in the confined animal feeding statutes, or if they were left in, it wouldn't have any effect because they'd still have to act, the ODA and DEQ would still have to act consistently with the delegation agreement once that has been changed. And responding to the earlier question, I'm not sure that I would categorize what's occurred in the past as being inconsistent with the delegation agreement. The present memorandum of agreement between the two agencies for operation of the CAFO program is for the state component of that program, and it hasn't really been used to issue federal permits. That's kind of a new wrinkle.
We can ask these questions also because it seems to me that having dual authority, the decision that has been made doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Thank you, Representative. Go ahead and continue.
The other substantive change proposed in the proposal submitted to Legislative Council would be the repeal of ORS 225 and 227.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please. Representative Nelson?
Yes, thank you. Knudsen? Would it be possible that we could have a written copy of what you're saying? It's really hard for some of us to follow that. Would that be possible?
I don't have copies to hand out at this time. I'm sorry. Chair Jensen, excuse me.
Representative Nelson, we got this information about the amendments too late today. But since we were having the dual meeting, we wanted to, at least I wanted to hear what the department and their representation, had to say about it, understanding that it's as difficult for some of the rest of us to follow as it is for you.
I was the only one.
No, you're not.
Okay.
I can assure you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr.
Cruz. Thank you, Chairman. And I do apologize for this awkward way to have to present this. as I was saying, the other substantive change is the repeal of those three sections that are in the current confined animal feeding operations statute, and those deal with the some issues relating to the notice provisions, notice for inspection, and or excuse me, complaints, inspection based upon complaints. And I don't have a copy of that with me, but I can get it and run through the particulars if you want. My understanding is that the intent of the departments with respect to that issue is that that would be addressed in rule in order to accommodate the differing requirements that will be applicable for the state program and the federal program. Those provisions would not be allowed under a federal permit, but they could continue to be allowed for the state program, and if so, then that would be done through regulation. And that's really all I have, although I can go through a section-by-section list of where we would propose to add to have both the Department of Environmental Quality and the State Department of Agriculture, but I'm afraid that might be tedious and probably not what I'd prefer to have.
I think that probably we can wait till the next hearing on that, and we'll have a chance to follow it, and it'll make more sense. However, one question that we have here, real quickly, would you repeat, please, the ORS repeal 468.223,
I think you... 468B.223.225 and .227.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Knutson? Would the Department of Agriculture like to have anything to add to the amendments this time? Thank you, Craig. And for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Chuck Craig, Deputy Director for the Department of Agriculture. One additional amendment that's been added is that an emergency clause is proposed to be added to the bill to make it effective on passage.
Okay.
And that's all I would add. I would note that in there are some obsolete provisions of the CAFO law that are proposed to be repealed as well, and one of them that goes back for many years is that when the program was under DEQ solely, there was a provision in the statute that is carried forward that provides that if a civil penalty is assessed under DEQ's process, that the person to whom the penalty is assessed pays a $1,000 per year inspection fee for 3 years after the civil penalty has been adjudicated. And the amendments would propose that that be eliminated from the statutes, because that dates back to a time when we had one FTE to do the CAFO program statewide, and it was a complaint-driven program, and if there was follow-up that was necessary, we would have to contract with a soil and water conservation district or someone else somewhere to do the oversight work associated with monitoring the operation that was out of compliance, and the legislature subsequently gave us additional positions and resources to operate the program, and we don't see a reason for continuing with that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of the department? At this point, would the Environmental Protection Agency, Dan Oplaski, could you give us your thoughts on the proposed amendments that none of us have to read, but that you understand thoroughly?
for the record, my name is Dan Opalski. I am director of the Oregon Operations Office of the Environmental Protection Agency, Region 10. Our headquarters are in Seattle. First of all, let me give assurance on behalf of the regional administrator, acting regional administrator Chuck Finley, that EPA remains committed to working with the legislature, with the Departments of Agriculture and Department of Environmental Quality, and other interested parties to establish a concentrated animal feeding operation program that puts the state of Oregon clearly in the driver's seat in running the program and allows EPA to drop back from a direct implementation role to one of oversight. What you're talking about here today with the proposed legislation is part of a two-step process that we believe we have conceptual agreement on. Basically, in step one, in the short term, the Department of Agriculture would obtain all the authorities necessary to act as an agent for DEQ for purposes of permitting, inspection, and taking enforcement actions as appropriate for the entire universe of concentrated animal feeding operations as defined under federal law. Step two would be over the longer term, Oregon would initiate a process for program revision of the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, or NPDES program under the Clean Water Act, to obtain formal approval for a transfer of those authorities from DEQ to the Department of Agriculture. We've identified what we believe we need to achieve step one of that process, and this proposed legislation that we're discussing is a key part of that. The other parts include the rulemaking that would follow up on that legislation. This legislation is going to be highly dependent upon rulemaking that would follow to provide clarity on definitions and authorities. And secondly, as a package of a program description whereby the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Environmental Quality would together in some instances describe what the program is going to look like in more detail and what their relative roles and responsibilities are. With respect to specifically to House Bill 2156, we have been reviewing the language for House Bill 2156 as that has been made available to us. We have made suggestions to clarify several of the provisions, but we do believe we're headed towards legislation that will be adequate from a federal perspective pending the administrative rulemaking by the Department of Agriculture to which you referred. Maybe it's best for me to leave it there if there are specific questions.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions of the agency? Just one quick one from me. It is my understanding that your legal staff was working with our Attorney General's office on the amendments to the best of your knowledge.
That's correct.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
And let me just provide some information that to the extent that there are additional comments we have, they would relate to whether or not there might be more changes needed, more legislative action needed along the lines of, I think, where some of the questions have gone already, when it comes time to step two, that actual formal approval of the authorities going over to the Department of Agriculture. So the question is there more that can, in a timely way, be accomplished now versus taking a step that will work for the purpose that we've all agreed on to now, recognizing that there may be a little bit more work, say, in the next legislative session?
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate very much your coming down today. We need to keep hearing from you, and we appreciate the time and effort that you put into this. Sorry that we were not able to move forward on this as we thought we might, but another day we'll do that. So thanks again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
At this time, Glenn Stonebrink from the Oregon Cattlemen's Association is here, and I don't know, Glenn, if you wanted to testify on this or did you want to see the final draft? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Glenn Stonebrink with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. On this bill, and I don't want to go over everything we went through before, but I do want to reiterate a couple things. So that the members of the committee know, as well as the rest of us when we're hearing, the testimony that we're asking that CAFO, confined animal feeding operations, and AFO, animal feeding operations, that we have a clear understanding why they're different and why they need to be referred to differently. Because I haven't seen the amendments, I'm not sure that that has been done, and we did testify to that earlier, that we want those made clear. The other thing I didn't hear them mention from the Department of Justice, whether or not the amendments would include a requirement to have public hearing from the Department of Agriculture before they implement the rules. And that is one of the other things we asked for, because the law, Oregon law, provides now that they could actually implement rules without having a public hearing if they're doing so to carry out a federal laws or federal rules. And we testified to that last time as well. I didn't hear that in there. Nor did I hear anything about the outreach. And we really would like to have outreach put in the bill. It may not be specific as to how that outreach is there, but it's imperative that we do have that. I'm just a little concerned is that as an industry, and it's our ranchers, and I know we don't represent every rancher in the state, but even those ranchers that don't belong to our organization do rely on us to help get them information, that we have not been any part of helping draft these amendments to meet the things that we've testified on. The Department of Justice knew about them, and the EPA knew about them. I don't know if Oregon Department of Agriculture knew about the things that were going to legislative council, so we could testify on them or not. But we want to be a part of making sure this works, not to try to usurp the law or rules in any way, but be a part of making it work so we don't have any more $50,000 fines out there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative King.
My memory is, and I think it was on January 25th, that you testified as well as Director Ward, and that I recall that he did put on the record for the Ag Committee that it was every intent and commitment on behalf of that agency to do, you know, the hearing, as per your request.
For the outreach or for the...
For the rulemaking.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, what I'm saying is that I'd like to see it in the bill itself, because without it being written in the law, the Department of Agriculture could, and I'm not saying that Phil Ward or anyone in the Department of Agriculture would at this time, but it would still be possible for them to write rules and implement rules without having a public hearing, unless we write it into this new provision of 2156. I understand he made that commitment that he would do that, but I didn't hear him talk about that. So if they're going back to legislative council with something, I hope that gets put in there.
Other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Nelson.
Yes, I wouldn't miss this opportunity. Mr. Chair, Mr. Stonebrink, would you just, on the outreach issue, clarify what you felt should be in the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, the outreach program is so vital to this, and I just want to take a moment for this opportunity to say why. Because two of our ranchers were fined, one $11,000, one $50,000 by EPA. Prior to that time, these ranchers have no knowledge that they were violating the federal law. We have a number of agencies out there, whether it's Soil Water Conservation Districts, NRCS, Department of Agriculture, Extension Service. There's a lot of resources that could be helping those, could have helped those ranchers had there been knowledge that they were doing something wrong or potentially doing something wrong. The outreach program that I see now is that all of those groups, with the emphasis coming from the Department of Agriculture, coordinate efforts to put on town hall meetings, disseminate materials, from time to time have some field visits on ranchers, and look so they can show people ahead of time what they might be doing in violation of federal clean water, and then we can prevent violations from happening. Our goal is that we have no more fines. Now, I know we probably can't reach that realistically, but we would love to have 100% compliance, and we're committed to make that work.
follow up, please, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please, Representative Nelson.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Mr. Stonebrink, would it be possible that you would draft these three major points you brought out today in a form that we, who don't exactly speak your cattleman's language, could have them the way they should be, or the way you feel?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, we'd be glad to.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Thank you. Could Mr. Knudsen come back up, please, if you would? Thank you, Mr. Knudsen. I think you heard the last witness's comments or concerns. Can you speak to what we need to do or might need to do to put that type of language in the bill?
Yes, Chair Jensen, thank you. That language was not put in the draft that we recommended to Legislative Council for largely because I had already advised the Department of Agriculture that I felt that under this circumstances, under these circumstances, the exception for incorporating certain kinds of federal regulations was not applicable, and that they would be under the ordinary APA provisions, which would require a hearing if requested by 10 people or more. However, I do know that the Department of Agriculture is not opposed to having that language put in the bill, and we can certainly suggest language to Legislative Council to accomplish that. It would be relatively easy to just make it clear that the provisions of ORS 183.337 are not applicable.
Thank you, Mr. Knudsen.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please. Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Knudsen. I think as we've heard Mr. Stonebrink express, you know, this is a critical part of this whole entire CAFWAFL issue, and so personally, I would be very appreciative that we would work together to collaborate to make this happen. And with their providing us with the adequate language, I think we can all, you know, mitigate any future problems for the ranchers. Goodness knows we need them in here in the state.
Thank you very much, Mr. Knudsen. There's no other one signed up to testify on 2156. We'll close this public hearing and give the gavel back to the illustrious chairman of the Ag and Forestry and let you get on with the business of the people.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We appreciate and thank all the members of the SR2 committee for showing up today and participating, and we will look forward to seeing you again. We're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2222 this time, and we'd like my committee administrator to come forward. And when we have a moment, we're going to regroup here for a second.
Can I leave with my salmon committee now? Or do I have to stay?
No. Representative, you have to stay.
Okay.
Yeah. The chair is going to take a 5-minute recess. Thank you.